You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
So the word of God comes like this. Doesn't come like this. Right? The word of God comes like this. Right? The Spirit of God is not out here somewhere throwing stuff at you, right? The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and He's the one that gives revelation, right? So the Word of God comes like this up to your heart. It does not come like this. Revelation doesn't come from heaven, right? Outwardly. In other words, it doesn't come, obviously it does, it is from heaven because that's where the Father is. But what I'm telling you is that the Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, what you receive from inside of you, not from outside of you. Right? If you're receiving from outside, then you're not saved, right? And a person that's not saved can hear the gospel and the Spirit of God convict that individual, and that's coming from the outside, not from the inside. But that's different for you, right? You receive from the inside, not from the outside. You know, it's awesome. The way the Lord has been doing stuff today, I tell you, it's just good for you to be here. It's good for you to be here, right? Always remember, right? You're not here for us. You're here for you. You're here for you, right? You're here for you. So that's good. So when you think about things, right? Let me just, and I'll pick on one thing because I said it to someone, and then when I was up here, I was thinking about what I said, right? If somebody tells you, you know what? You know that the Lord loves you unconditionally, right? You can say that to yourself, and do you know that that could mean absolutely nothing, right? For you to say the Lord loves me unconditionally, right, can be of no value to you whatsoever unless you know one thing. Right? Here's the difference. Let me explain something to you. And just, right, it's just your heart to know. We're saying things, right? And the Lord wants to teach us things so that we can know and understand, and so things can be profitable. You want the fact that you're here to profit you, right? I mean, I hope you want it to profit, right? I want it to profit you, right? So if you want it to profit you, then you want to know what it is and how it is that things profit you, right? So for me to say to myself, you know, I'm just, I don't know, you know, a friend of mine, you know, just rejected me and, you know, told me he didn't want to be my friend no more. So I feel hurt by that, you know. We've been friends a long time and now you don't want to be my friend anymore. So, you know, I just start to think, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know, at least you love me, you know. And you know what that does to you right there? Absolutely nothing. Right? Absolutely nothing. Because the knowledge you saying to yourself that God loves you doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything, right? You have to see every single thing that you say and just understand this, right? Because unfortunately, when something doesn't match with our brain, we want to throw it out, right? But listen to what it is. Listen to correct knowledge, not what we think. We lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge Him. Look at what the Lord teaches you right there. That right there, listen, if you can hear that, just that verse, if you can hear that, right? We don't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge Him. So watch this. So if you say the Lord loves me, if you're not acknowledging Him, you don't know what you're saying. You understand what that is? In other words, I know that the Lord loves me. So here's what the Bible says. I believe, therefore I speak. Right? I believe, therefore I speak. So what comes first? The speaking or the believing? That's really important what you just said, right? Because there's a lot of people that speak to try to get to the place where they can believe, right? They repeat something over and over and over and over again, hoping that they can believe it, right? But we don't speak in hopes to believe. We speak because we believe, right? We believe, therefore we speak. So watch this. So if you say, right, you were just rejected by someone, right? And they didn't like you anymore, whatever. Something happened. There was a falling out, right? If you want to comfort yourself with something, right? Understand this, that there's a title that Jesus has. And the title that He holds. And here's something important. The Lord taught us this a long time ago. When the Lord holds a title, He doesn't share that title with anyone. So if God says He is something, there is nothing else that is that. right? So here's one title that the Lord holds, Comforter. He holds that title, right? That's His. Anybody agree in here that that's a title, right, of His? Comforter, right? There is no other comfort there anywhere else in the world then. There is no such thing as comfort in anything else but in Jesus. And there's people that won't like that, but we don't care because it's Jesus or it's nothing. There are not, listen, here's what the Lord says. If you are in a church, right, and for sake of not wanting to offend someone, you don't say what is correct, right? You don't say what is correct. The Lord says that He says, if you don't do it, I will do it. That's what He says, and I'll read that to you, right? He says, if you don't do it, then I'll do it. He says, I will fight them with the sword of my mouth, He said. What is that? Why is it that Jesus, when John saw Him, why does He have a sword in His mouth? For a couple of reasons. One, because the Word of God cuts in places where nothing else can, and the Word of God divides like nothing else can. Right? That's why it's a sword coming out of His mouth. So when the Lord says He is the Comforter, there is no other Comforter. When the Lord says that He is the Helper, there is no other Helper. So there is no help in president, in government, in mommy and daddy, in this one, in aunts and uncles and people and friends. There is no true help. I'm not talking about something that's fake that'll get you through. I'm talking about something that satisfies and fulfills and it's done, right? See, I can have a problem and I can be depressed. And I can go to Hershey Park and get on a roller coaster, right? And that'll distract me long enough to make me smile. But that doesn't mean depression is gone. It is festering on the inside of you like it is just like it was before. Nothing has happened. So no one's talking about distraction. What I'm talking about is someone that can go in and pierce through your heart and cut away the junk that is making you depressed, right? That's different, right? Human beings can give temporal assistance, right? Listen, Tylenol is great when you have a headache. But can I give you a little newsflash? The reason for your headache is still there. You just can't feel it anymore. When they give you a shot of cortisone in your knee, they didn't heal your knee. You just can't feel that you're rubbing your bones together, and that's what you can't feel. But it's still there, right? Jesus doesn't work like that. Jesus doesn't give you Tylenol. He just heals it, right? He gives it life. So for your life, what we're talking about is, it's a waste of your time and of my time to get up here to try to tell you things that'll go like this and itch your little ears, right? Because it ain't going to do anything good to anyone. But here's what we want to do. What we want to do is bring your heart to the Lord Jesus. So if we can bring your heart to Him, you know, it's funny, you know, years ago I just got over people's sentiments, right? Because, you know, I used to be like that too. I used to think, well, you know, at least they meant well. You know, I don't care. People kill people meaning well, right? It doesn't matter that they meant well. What do I care that people mean well? Meaning well doesn't mean anything. You can hurt people meaning well. You can lie to people meaning well, right? You know what? If you want to speak to people, go learn before you speak and then speak, right? But don't speak what you don't know because that hurts, right? It hurts people. It hurts people to speak what people don't know. It's better just to keep reading the same verse of the Bible over and over again and preaching the same thing over and over again until you learn something new, right? But not say something that you don't know just because you want to give something new to people, right? Listen, let me show you something. I try not to review too much, right? But in Matthew 25, it's interesting, right? That what the Lord, the lining in what the Lord's been teaching us is to be careful what we hear. And it's interesting that Pastor Mike was talking about something like that, to be careful what we hear. And in Matthew chapter 25, what he talks about, and I'll give you the reference in a second, but in Matthew 25, what he talks about is that those that hear much produce much fruitfulness and much is given to them. And to those that hear a little bit less, they still receive, but they receive a little less than those that hear more. That's easy to understand, right? You can't receive from Jesus what you don't know, right? You can't receive from Jesus what you don't know. So Matthew 25 is not a parable to teach us how to be good stewards of our money and to put money in Jeff Bank and get a good interest rate and then, right? And then that way if we can be good stewards, because people teach that garbage out of this verse, right? People say that the Lord talks more about money in the Bible than He does any other subject. And that's entirely wrong. The Lord teaches Jesus Christ in the Word of God. The Word of God testifies about the Lord. It does not testify about your money. Right? Listen, I don't care who said it. It doesn't matter how famous they are and how many people they got coming to their church. If they're saying that the Lord speaks about money more in the Bible than he does anything else, they're missing a point. They're missing a humongous point, and his name is Jesus, right? Jesus never, ever, 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 ever gave financial advice to anyone. Why? Because even if their bank account had nothing in it, he could put something in it. Right? So it's not about that. Prosperity is not about how much money you got in the bank. It's just, my gosh, how many dumb things people teach. Okay, so Matthew 25 and verse number 14, you know what it talks about? It talks about the talents, and I don't have time to go through it, but I wanted you to see it in case you want to glance at it. So in verse number 15, he starts talking about how to one he gave 5 talents, and to another one he gave 2 talents, and to another one he gave 1 talent. But what he says there is that to the one that he gave 5 talents, too. Here's what you have to understand, and you can go back and listen to that teaching if you want. If you want the what's behind it, right? But the reason why he was given 5 talents is because he could hear. Right? So because he could hear, he was given more. So it's not about talents. The word talent is not a coin. Talent is a measure of something. So to the one that was given 5, he was fruitful. And how do you know he was fruitful? Because he produced 5 more talents. Right? Now here's the interesting thing. The Bible starts off saying in Matthew 25 that a man went on a journey far away and gave unto his servants, and he's the one that gave the talent. So obviously we know the one that left. Right? The one that left, we know it was Jesus Christ that ascended. Right? He's the one that came, he's the one that left, right? And the one and to know, you know, it's so the Lord has made it so simple for us to understand how he left that we just scroll up to verse 14. It says that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So here's all simply that we have to know. What did Jesus give me? It wasn't coins that he gave me. So because it wasn't coins he gave me, I know that it's not talking about that. So what did the Lord give me? Well, he gave me his spirit, right? He gave me his spirit. And when you see the word good, you say, Lord, I know it was good what you gave me, because the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning, right? So I know that what you're talking about, the good that you gave me, is the same good that Philemon says that I should acknowledge on the inside of me by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in me, in Christ, who's on the inside of me, right? So that's the good that we're talking about, and that's the good that he gave. But there are some, so God gave good to the world. He didn't give good to Christians. God, when he ascended, right? When Jesus ascended, he gave good to the world. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh. But what happens? To the Lord, to someone who will not hear him, he will not give much understanding to, because they'll reject it. You know why? That's why he taught them in parables. He didn't talk to them clearly the revelation of Jesus Christ. He talked to them in parables. Why? Because hearing, he said, they don't hear. The disciples asked him that exact question. Why do you talk to them that way? Why don't you just talk to them plainly and tell them what it is? Right? Because we hear you, Lord, talk to us plainly. I mean, and you pull us aside and you explain things to us. Why don't you do that to them? This is because hearing, they don't hear. So a parable is 1 talent. A parable is 1 talent. When the Lord explains and expounds and reveals, that's 5 talents. Or that's 2 talents, right? Because the Lord will reveal to those that hear. And to those that won't hear, even what they have will be taken from them. So the one that had the 1 talent is called a slothful, unprofitable, wicked servant. That's a bad one, right? That's a person who doesn't hear. And the person who doesn't hear, he said, cast him out, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not hard to understand, right? That boy's going to hell. Right? So what does that mean? That he didn't hear. He was given something, and what did he do? He dug and he buried it. What does the Bible say about that? It says that the wrath of God is poured out from heaven against the unrighteousness of men that suppress, dig a hole and put it in there and cover it up, suppress the truth. So what does that mean? That if I've been given something and I dig it and put it underneath, right? I have not been enlightened. Why do I know that? That's talking about an individual who has not been enlightened. Because the Lord says in Matthew 4, he also says, do I light a candle to put it under a bushel? Or do I light a candle to put it under a bed? I said, I light a candle so it can be manifest. So who is manifest? Not so the person is manifest. So that what he put in you can be seen outwardly. Right, that's what the menorah represents, right? That's what the lampstand that was in the holy place, that's what that lampstand represented, right? It had 7 branches because the Lord wrote in Revelation to how many churches? To 7 churches, right? And each of those churches let me bring you there. So I have to show you Mark 4, what I just told you I was going to show you, and then I want to bring you to Revelation. So Mark chapter 4, And look at verse number 21. Mark 4:21. Look at what he says. And he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? And he just got done saying, here's what he was teaching them. He was teaching them clearly the parable of the seed and the sower. This is to his disciples that he was talking about. So to the multitude, he taught them the parable without explaining it. And they asked him, why do you do that? He says, because hearing, they don't hear. So he gives them one talent. Right? And if they seek the Lord, he'll explain it to them. That's one talent. But then to those that could see, that know, they were given five talents or two talents. And what that means is he explained it to them clearly. Right? And the Spirit of God would show them. And then in verse number 21, after it, can we scroll a little bit up to verse 20? But it's right, it's there already. So look at verse number 20. This is, he's explaining plainly to them. And these are they which are sown on good ground, they that hear the word. What are those that are good ground? Those that hear the word. So what is the Lord talking about? Hearing. He's not talking about working. He's not talking about farming. He's talking about hearing, right? So he says to those that hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. So what is he talking about? People that hear, that have five talents and produce five more. People that hear and have two talents and receive two more. And you know what God says to those? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because to God, hearing is your job. And if you do that, that's well done. That's well done. He don't care about nothing else. You could do whatever else you want, and that is not well done. There is nowhere in the Bible, and we can listen. You could hear something and reject it and keep believing what you want to believe. But what I would do is I would weigh it against the Word of God. And you're not gonna find in the Word of God anywhere where somebody just did something for somebody else, and the Lord said to that, well done. Right? I've heard where the Lord said, well done. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So I know the Lord is pleased with Jesus. Right? So obviously if my heart is on Jesus, then the Lord is well pleased with that too. Why? Because he's well pleased with him. So he says here, he says right after explaining, right? He said to those that hear it, hear the word, receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Some 5 talents, some 2. Some have 10 talents and produce 10 more. But the fruitfulness that comes out of some 60, some 30, some 100 fold. Can I explain something to you? You don't have to skip that part of the Bible. What do you mean, Lord, by 30, 60, or 100? What does that mean? There's not a part in your Bible where you get to it and you, oh, don't know what that means. Let's just skip that. Go to the next verse, right? Just ask him, right? He's on the inside of you. He said, if you need to know, he said, he'll give to you wisdom liberally. Can I explain to you why you can ask him? Because in verse 22, he's going to say, there is nothing hidden from you. Nothing hidden from you. There is nothing hidden from you. Nothing. Not one thing. Single solitary thing that Jesus is saying, I'm hiding that from you. Right? Not anything that he's hiding from you. And look at what he says. He says, and he said unto them, just as he got done explaining the seed and the sower, and those that hear producing fruit, he says to them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be put on this candlestick? He says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither is there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So the Lord is saying, I'm not hiding anything from you. If you ask me for wisdom, I will give it to you liberally and without reproach, right? And then in verse number 23, he says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying that's good. He's saying because you have ears to hear, go ahead and hear. But that's not just hearing anything. It's exactly what Pastor Mike was talking about, right? It's be careful what you hear. And that's what he says in verse number 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. It's not hearing anything. It's take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Listen, can I explain something to you? The Word of God, it's important for us to be in the Word of God every day. The Lord didn't say it's important for you to read your Bible every day, or to read a devotional every day, or to read part of a book every day, or to read an old and a new and a psalm and a proverb every day. He said the Word of God every day. The Word of God every day. Can I tell you something? The Bible says in Isaiah 55, they says, so is my word that comes down out of heaven. Like the rain comes down and waters the earth and it brings forth fruit. He says, so is my word that proceeds out of my mouth. Listen, and I don't know, this is probably not a shock to most of you, but it'll be good for all of us to hear, right? The Word of God still comes from Jesus and it does not come from any other thing. It still comes from Jesus. And if it comes from an individual and he has the Lord in him, then that's why the word is coming from him. You ever wonder, that's why people say speaking by the Spirit of God. If you speak by the Spirit of God, that's good, because you have to hear by the Spirit of God too. But if someone is not speaking by the Spirit of God, they ought not to be heard. They really ought not to be heard. I don't care what their good intention is. They ought not to be heard because it hurts people. You understand what that is? True knowledge to God is one of the most important things that He can give you. True knowledge is one of the most important things that He can give you. I understand that not all things are full and we're growing in the knowledge of what we have, but we speak because we believe, right? So the true knowledge that we have, we can major on that, and as we learn other things, that's awesome. But the things that we're speaking of that pertain to Christ, He said, so true knowledge is an important thing. So He said, take heed what you hear. Look at what He says. Take heed what you hear. Listen how important hearing is, correct hearing is. Because He says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. You understand how important that is? That Pastor Mike was talking about. Go ahead and turn on TBN and listen to it all day long. And it's not always people saying the wrong thing. We can hear the wrong way too. Because we can hear and lean on our understanding of what Pastor Bubba taught us 20 years ago. But that's not what we ought to be leaning on. We ought to be leaning on the Spirit of God to help us hear correctly, right? So if you can listen to it all day long and it will not do anything for you unless you hear correctly, right? So He says, take heed what you hear, because the measure with which you meet, in other words, the way that you hear is how you will receive. The way that you hear is how you will receive. Can I help you with something? We have to get rid of the notion that God is good, so even though we're dumb, God is going to give us some anyway. That's not true. That's not true, right? It is not true. God does not, you don't look up to heaven and pray incorrectly and still receive from God. You want the verse for that? God says that if you pray much, He says, but you don't receive, He says, because you pray amiss. What does amiss mean? Amiss means you prayed incorrectly. So because you pray with the wrong knowledge, we receive nothing from God. There are many people that pray and have prayed for years and have seen zero results to their prayers. But why is that? Because their results are not based on Christ. That's all. Listen, praying is not hard. Praying is not difficult. You just pray in light of the knowledge of Christ that you have. But to pray any other way, to reach out to God, listen, to reach out to God and just say, Lord, I just need you to do this for me, Lord. I mean, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Listen, can I help you, please? You can't even enter in to be heard by the Father unless you go through the high priest. You understand that your prayers go through a priest? Is that understood right? Your prayers go through a priest. If you don't have the knowledge of He who is the eternal high priest and why He is, right? How can you be heard? Right? How can you pray? That's why the Bible says when you don't know how to pray, then pray in the Spirit, right? And then allow Him, and then He says that when you pray in tongues, always ask the Lord to give you the interpretation of what you're saying, so your mind can profit and you can say things that make some sense. Right? So we can say things that make sense, but that they make sense and they are in line correctly with the Word of God. Listen, the revelation of Jesus Christ is essential to anything that we do in our life. It's essential. Let me show you exactly why. Well, I mean, that right there is a pretty darn good reason, right? That the way that you measure, it will be measured back to you. Can you listen, if that rubs you the wrong way, just ask yourself this question. Do you really think that it is biblical to say that you can say anything to God and God will just do it for you because He's good? It's a misconception to know why He is good. Why is God good? Because the goodness of God, the Bible says, listen, leads men to repentance. But careful how we define good. Because go ahead, go outside of your house, go into your neighborhood, and knock on every door and say, God is good. Knock on the other door, God is good. Knock on the other one, God is good. And see if that's going to bring somebody to repentance. Right? The Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repent. So go around telling everybody that God is good and see what that's going to do for them. You know what that will do? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because you haven't told them why He's good. There's a reason why He's good. And you know why God is good? The goodness of God that leads men to repentance is the grace of God that has been revealed to all the earth. It's God giving to men what they don't deserve. God gave to men what they do not deserve. And God is no longer imputing the sins of the world against them. So if you knock on someone's door and you say, listen, I just really felt led of the Lord to just come and share with you. And I just wanted to let you know what? The Lord loves you. But the reason why He loves you is because He gave His only begotten Son unto you. And you know that verse, right? John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So what the Lord has given you is He gave His Son for you so that you might receive life. And I just wanted to let you know that God is so good because He is no longer mad at you. He's not holding your sins against you, but all the more, all that He wants you to do is to be able to receive what God has given. And God doesn't want you to do anything for Him. He's done everything for you, and He wants you to receive what He's given. That's correct knowledge, right? But going around telling people God is good doesn't do anything. So if what we're comforting ourselves with, so let's bring it down to us, right? If what you're thinking in your head, oh, God is good. God is good. You're freaking out all the time, but God is good. God is good. God is good. It's not doing anything for you, right? You might as well just stop and always start at the cross. Just stop. Just stop, right? Go back to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And boy, you're already on the right path. Go ahead and thank Jesus for the cross and what He's done. And you're going to see the Spirit of God will take hold of your mouth, and you're going to go in the right direction because you started at the right place. When you start at the right place, you will head in the right direction because He's your shepherd. So when you allow Him to shepherd your soul, you see how important that is? We have a shepherd of our soul. You know what that means? Is that God shepherds your soul. He leads your mind. He leads your soul. How does He lead your soul? Let me show you that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Right? Revelation chapter 1. It says in verse 1, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, all the things which he saw. Listen, everything that the Lord was showing him bore witness of Jesus Christ and of the word of God. Everything that you hear and that you look at to encourage yourself in should do those two things. Bear witness of Jesus Christ, right? Bear witness of Jesus Christ and bear record of the Word of God. Anything that the Lord says to you will be in line with the written Word of God, right? So He's not going to teach you something that's not in here. If somebody teaches you something that's not in here, throw it out because it's not true. Right? And you have every right. You know what? If you don't understand something, and forget about the right thing, because people get caught up with their rights. But if you're sitting down and you're wondering, you know, you don't have to sit there annoyed ever, right? But if you say, you know what, Pastor Jose, I was hearing what you were saying. Can you show me where in the Bible it says that? And we read so many verses probably that you won't even have that question. But if you want to know and you didn't hear it mentioned, you can come up and ask it. I will show you where it is, right? I'll show you where it is. So he says, we bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things which he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy. So you can read it, but you can't just read it. You have to read it and you have to hear it. Right? Because blessed is he who hears what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. You see what he just said? That you're blessed if you read it and hear it. But he says that we should hear in the same book. He says that we should hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So you can read, but you have to listen to what he's saying. Because he's the teacher, right? Like if you're sitting there right now, sometimes we get annoyed at people because we're not hearing the Spirit of God. We're leaning on our own understanding and we're hearing, we say, that doesn't go with what I was taught. The Spirit of God will never tell you that something that you're hearing is incorrect without showing you the reason why scripturally it's incorrect, right? He'll show you and he'll tell you, you know why that's not there? Because look at this verse. And then you can go look at that verse and see why it doesn't match up. He's good like that. You'll be watching somebody on TV, you'll be hearing somebody on the radio, and the Lord will bring something up and say, you know what, that's why that's not wrong. I mean, that's why that's wrong or that's why that's right. He's always so good like that. He brings it up to your remembrance. So he says, blessed is he that readeth and hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches, that's why there are seven branches, right, in the candelabra, right? He said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is. Now here's the important thing. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to notice when either John or Jesus says something about himself. Because listen why that's important. And you'll see it as we go along. Every description in chapter 1, the Lord gives descriptions of himself. Then John describes what he sees. And the Lord takes that description in chapter 1, breaks it up in pieces and reveals to each church that piece of him and then teaches on it. You understand why it's important? He's revealing in chapter 1 who he is. Breaks it up into 7 pieces. And then every time in chapter 2 that he mentions the church, first he mentions the revelation of who he is. And then he teaches. You see what that is? He reveals who he is first. And then he teaches. Listen, he's going to reveal to one of the churches, which is where we're going to go, that he is the one that has the sword in his mouth. That has the sword in his mouth. And guess what he's going to teach that church about the sword in his mouth? Right? So God will reveal who he is first in Christ and then will teach on it. If there is no revelation of Jesus, there is no teaching. There is just superficial nothingness that helps no one. It doesn't matter. Listen, there are people that read this Bible, the same one. They use the same one, the same translation. And you can teach people from in here and not teach them anything that will help them. Right? Because it has to be based on Jesus Christ. Right? Has to be based on Jesus Christ. So look at what he says in verse number 5. No, 4. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace and peace. It says, grace unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and is to come. That's a revelation of the Lord, right? That he can teach us, right? What it means when he says, Lord, you are the one who is, who was, and is to come. That's something. That's something of the Lord, right? That we can learn. And then he keeps going. And he says, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, right? And then he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ is called the prince of the kings of the earth. That's something for us to learn, right? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again, the revelation of Jesus, right? Stay with me. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So look at what he's saying there. He says that he has made us kings and priests. But for people to go around saying, you know what, you're a king and a priest, you're a king and a priest. If you don't know why you're a king and a priest, why are we kings and priests? Because to him is the glory that we have, and to him is the dominion and the reign. Dominion is reign. You reign in a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. That's why you're called kings and priests, because you are of the reign of Jesus Christ. So the Lord reigns, right? Jesus reigns. And if his reign is in you, then you reign too. Right? That's why you call that heir and a joint heir with Christ. That's why you are heirs together with him, right? Because he's given you everything he has. Jesus was crowned with glory and honor. You know what you were crowned with? Glory and honor. Right? Glory and honor. So look at what it says. So it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they shall also who pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So that's sorrow. They will see him, and they will know that he is Lord, but they will sorrow. Why? Because they rejected him. Right? Because they rejected him. And then here's another thing that he says of himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and is to come. So you know what you just see there? You already know the definition of is, was, and is to come. Is, was, and is to come is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. That's what that... So if you ever wonder, well, what does that mean, Lord, that you were and was and is to come? That means that you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You have always been. That's why he said to the Pharisees, I was before Abraham was, I was. Why did he say that? Because he is the Alpha, right? And he is the Omega, right? And he says that in verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God. John was on the island of Patmos for the word of God, not for holding a Bible. So that's important to understand. It was because of the word of God, but it wasn't because he was giving everyone Bibles. It's because he was speaking by the Spirit of God. That means the word of God, right? Because he speaks, right? The majority of people that feel attached, that have been Christians for, I'm not talking about a new Christian, right? I'm not trying to bash someone that, you know what, you just learned and you don't even know the Bible, and you grab the whole of this little daily bread devotional, and you're reading the one verse and the little thing underneath it, and you're trying to learn a little something, and God's trying to teach it, and you know what? Okay, so start. Then. So begin. But you know what? All of us probably have been Christians for years and we're still stuck on the same verse, right? Still stuck on the same little thing because we're afraid that the Spirit of God doesn't speak to us. So we got to hear it from the author. Right? The Spirit of God, listen, you're sitting there right now. Anything you understand by the Spirit of God, not because I'm explaining it well. So he says, look at what he says. So he's exiled to the island of Patmos in verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know what that means? He wasn't in the flesh. That means he wasn't on the island of Patmos saying, woe is me. Lord, you left me over here to die, and I'm the only one exiled on this island, and nothing's going right for me, and they took me away from my friends. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, right? He was exiled like a criminal, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, right? That means he wasn't having a pity party, but his faith was in Jesus. That's what that means. So he said, here's what he said. He heard, when your eye is fixed on Jesus despite your circumstance, right? No matter what's going on, no matter how horrible it can be, and you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will hear the Lord speak to you. And he's just minding his business, just in the Spirit, just loving on God. He's not saying, Lord, you have to tell me the reason why I'm here. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to get food? What's going to happen? Who's going to help me? Right? He was exiled because they wanted to kill him, not because they wanted just to keep him apart. They didn't care if he died, right? But here's what happens. You're reading what he wrote. Right? So here's what happened. He hears, beautiful, my God, how awesome is that, right? You're just sitting there, and it's beautiful when it happens to us, right? You're just minding your own business, and the Lord brings something to your mind, right? I am within you, and I am yours, and you are mine, and my body is for you, and you are for mine, right? Your body is for me, and I am for you. Just sitting there, mind your business, just loving on God, right? You don't have to look at the birds. It doesn't matter if it's a bad day out. It could be thundering, lightning outside, and you can sit in the front and you can still enjoy, right? Because it's not about the weather. It's about how good he is, right? And why he's good. So he says, he's hearing this, right? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's exiled on an island. Jesus does not start by saying, listen, don't worry that you're exiled on the island because I'm going to get you out of here. You understand the knowledge that he's gaining that helps him get out of there. He hears. This is all that he hears. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Right there he knows he's getting out. How can you get something to the churches in Asia if you're still stuck there? Something's going to happen, right? But he doesn't have to worry about that because when you cast your care over on the Lord, that means you don't care. And can I tell you something? As bad as that sounds to people, I don't care. It's a beautiful thing to say. I don't care. I don't care. You could look at a situation, watch, if you're upset before, watch how upset you get now. You could see a situation with a family member and you can say, I don't care. But the Lord Jesus cares deeply for what you're going through, right? So let me encourage you to put your eyes on him and let's pray together. Because if you came over my house and you called me on the phone to take your care and dump it on me, I can't care. I can't even care over my own stuff. How can I care for yours? I can't care for myself. How can I care for yours? So I don't take care for myself. So this is what I do. And you're still talking to the same person, right? I can't care for myself, so I care for him. But since you called me anyway, let's bring your heart to the one that can do something about your problem because I can't do anything. Right? That's a beautiful thing to do. You help people like that. And you know what they might do next time? They might just pray next time before they come talk to you. Right? Because sometimes people actually don't want help. I'll strike that. People do always want help, but sometimes the kind of help that they're looking for is just for you to agree with them, right? And if you can agree with their sorrow and say, yeah, I went through the very same thing as you did, yeah. And you know what? People will get off the phone and say, well, at least Susie went through the same thing that I did, and look at her, she's standing still. That's the comfort that people take. And you know what? Is there some comfort in that? There is some comfort in that. But can I tell you something? There's better comfort than that. There is some comfort in you knowing somebody else went through what you went through. But you have a high priest who has been acquainted with all of your grief, right? And still overcame everything and is seated at the right hand of the Father and represents you before heaven. So therefore, you can cast your care over on him and come into the throne of grace where there you will receive. Can you please say there? There you will receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Listen, you can come here and you won't receive mercy and grace. You can go to your friend's house and call them. You can visit them personally. There is no mercy and there is no grace there. Mercy and grace is found in one place, in the throne of God. And if you go to a friend and they bring you to the throne, good for them. Well done, right? Somebody came to you, you brought them to the throne. Somebody calls you. Listen, someone calls you and all you do is gossip with them, right? All that you're doing is hurting them. You are not loving them. You're not loving them. That's not called help, right? Help is bringing somebody to somewhere where they can get water. They are thirsty and they need water. Let them get a drink, right? Let them get a drink. It's good to let people drink. It's good to let people drink. It's good to let people drink. So he says, we have to wrap up. So watch what he says. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He says he turned in verse number 12 and to see the voice. Man, he turned to see the voice, right? He turned to see the voice, right? When you go to church or whoever you listen to, take heed what you hear. When you turn to see the voice, you should see a lamb. You should not see a man. You should see a lamb. When you're hearing a voice, you are his sheep and you know his voice. When you look to see who is speaking, listen, if you come here, if you're listening to John Hagee or Joel Osteen or whoever it is that we listen to, right? And I have made horrible decisions in my past before we knew what we know. I have made horrible decisions in my past with my family because I was listening to what Joel Osteen was saying and what Joyce Meyer was saying. And because she said something that matched with what I was saying and what I wanted to do, I went and did it. But God didn't tell me to do it. Right? When you hear someone speaking, look to see whose voice that is. Ask yourself, Lord, is that your voice? How do you know your voice? How do I know your voice? And you know what the Lord will tell you? You know my voice. You're my sheep. You know my voice. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the gospel. And it sounds like you're coming to me, and it sounds like easy, and it sounds light, and it sounds like you have no labor, and it sounds like it's hearing me. And it's talking about what I have done, not what you have to do. That's the voice of our shepherd, and we know it, and we're learning it well. And we're learning it well. And look at what he says. So he says, he looked to see the voice that spake unto him, and he turned, and he saw seven golden candlesticks. So what is he looking at? The church. He turns to see who's speaking, and the one that's speaking is speaking from among the churches, right? And he says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Thank God it was a good voice, right? One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. He says, and gird about the paps, it says, with a golden girdle. His head, these are all things that are descriptive of him that he's going to bring up. He says, his head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His eyes like a flame of fire. And it says, and his feet were like fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. So good. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Can I tell you where else you heard that? Right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking about hearing and how good it is when we hear, he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and you're not. Did you just hear that right? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word of God is not a thing. That word of God is a person. The word of God that it's talking about in 2 Corinthians 4 is not a thing. What you're listening to is a person, and you can turn to see whose voice is that tied to, right? Is it the voice of a stranger? Because I ain't listening to that. Or is it the voice of my shepherd? And sometimes, listen, as God is my witness, the Lord is speaking to you and your flesh detests it. You're squirming around in your seat. You don't like it, right? But if you just put your flesh aside and you tell your soul to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you'll hear even though your flesh don't like it. Even though your flesh don't like it sometimes, right? And he says his head, a flame of fire. Okay, we said that. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, listen, I don't even have to know what it, I already know what he's going to say. You fall as dead before him, and the Lord will tell you, don't worry, you can get up and you can speak to me. And he says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Can you imagine the sight? Just for a second, just stay with me for a minute, right? You're looking, and you had your little picture of Jesus, right? You know, holding the babies with the beard and all cute and the blue eyes. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gives you a vision, and what you see is one that has flames of fire coming out of his eyes, a sword coming out of his mouth, and he's so bright and brilliant, you can't hardly look at him. You fall as dead, somebody's going to kill me. So he looks and he says, fear not, I'm the first and the last. He already told them that before, right? He He says, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things that thou hast seen, and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. You know what he's telling him to write? The things that he's seen. To see is to believe. Right? Not physically seeing. To see, to understand by the Spirit of God is to believe. Right? He's not asking John to reiterate the things that he has no knowledge of. But he's saying, the things that I'm teaching you, write those things down. So he says, write those down in verse number 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers. Those are the heads of those churches. The Lord is not directing his letter towards the people of the church. He's directing the letter towards the messenger of the church, the one that speaks. He's directing the letter to the one that speaks, right? And he says to him, the messenger of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And that's why he directs in chapter 2 and verse number 1, everything he says unto the angel, unto the angel. Listen, God was not talking to angels from heaven, right? He could have talked to them there. He doesn't have to get John to write them a letter to talk to them here, right? God doesn't write letters to angels in heaven. He just tells them what to do and they say what he says. The angel of the church is speaking not to the guardian angel that you have flying around. He's speaking to the messenger of that church. And he's saying when he says to them in verse number 1, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he who holds. You see what he's doing? He reveals himself first and then he's going to talk. Look at what he's saying. And we are wrapping up here. Look at what he says. These things saith he. And he says who he is first. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What has he just done there? He revealed what he said in chapter 1. This is all who I am. I'm going to take a piece of that and I'm going to tell you this is who I am, and then I'm going to reveal that to you, because who I am is how I'm correcting you. The Word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The revelation that you get about Jesus will correct your mind. So what is he doing to them? He's telling them what he likes and what they've been doing good in their faith, but he's going to correct them. In order for him to correct them, he has to show them who he is. So he says here, I am the one who holds the seven stars in my right hand and walks in the midst of the seven churches. And then he goes on to tell him that he knows his works. So let's bring you to the part that I wanted, because the thing that the Lord has been speaking to us here has been about the sword, right? About the sword. That's come up many, many times. Let me just tell you a quick thing with the sword, right? Balaam, services ago, many, many services ago, right? What was the Lord telling us? That he was bringing us to a narrow place. He brought Balaam and that donkey to the narrowest place where they kept getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower, where they couldn't turn to the right or to the left. You know what he tells you about your hearing? Hear, but don't turn to the right or to the left. But look, who was before him? The angel of the Lord with a sword drawn. The angel of the Lord was before him with a sword drawn, right? What does that represent, right? The angel of the Lord was before him in a place where he can't turn right or left, and he has his sword drawn. Right? And the very thing that he could do, right, that one that had the sword drawn, he said, because the way of Balaam was perverse before him, he was going to kill him. But he said, your donkey saved your life. He said, I wasn't going to kill the donkey, I was just going to kill you. Right? With a what? With a sword. He was going to kill him with a sword. Listen, when the people of Israel, they sinned, and Balaam taught Balak how to make the people fall. And he would speak things to them and curse them. And what happened is the people of Israel ended up, they went to the people of Moab, Balak. And I don't have all the time to go through it, but Balak was the king of Moab. And Balak was the one that hired Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And Balaam said, I can't curse them. But he was teaching him all along how to do it, right? So the people end up in fornication and in sin. And they marry, the one man brings a Moabite woman. The Lord is cursing the people because of their sin. He brings a Moabite woman into the congregation. Right? And you know what the Lord says? That has happened because their doctrine was wrong. He said they followed the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, right? That's what he says. You can look it up for yourself, right? So when that's in Numbers chapter 24. And he bought the woman, right? Because what they were doing was because of their wrong believing, right? So he bought the woman in. Eleazar, which is the son of Aaron, takes a javelin. A javelin is a spear. And he takes the javelin and he puts it through the stomach of both of them, right? And then he says, and then the curse stopped. The curse ceased. And you know what God said? He said to Eliezer, he said, I will lift him up. And you know why he said that to him? He said, I will raise him up because he has made atonement. Listen to what he said. He has made atonement for my people Israel. Atonement is for their sin, right? He has made atonement for their sin. So he said, I will name him, listen, the priest, the Levitical priest, the son of a Levitical priest. He said, I will name him among those who are of an everlasting priesthood. You know what you learned there? The Levitical priesthood is not everlasting. They ended. They ended, right? With the priesthood of Melchizedek, right? The minute Jesus came, it ended. So he was talking to Eliezer about a priesthood. In other words, an intervention for men that would never cease. And where men would never again have to be killed and have a spear put through them for their own sin. Right? And you know what he said it would be? He who comes in the order of Melchizedek, who is an everlasting high priest. So you know what? Listen, you know what the Lord tells you with that? Is that he says... He's saying here, look at what he says. He says, I know, he says in verse number 12, chapter 2, verse number 12, and I promise you we're going to end in these three verses. And to the end of the church in Pergamos write, these things said he, which has the sharp sword with two edges. So you know what he's doing? He reveals who he is first, so he can teach us, right? But he said, this is who I am, and now you can be helped. He didn't say, I'm good, don't worry about it, right? He revealed who he is, right? I'm the one that has the sharp two-edged sword coming out of my mouth. And then he teaches them to correct them. I know your works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat. And can I tell you something? This is why this is important, please. If the Lord has been speaking to us about these things, about the sword, about Balaam, right? The commander of the Lord's army with a sword drawn, right? Standing before him. Can I tell you something? The same sword of the Spirit, the same sword of the Spirit can condemn, and the same sword of the Spirit can give life. The same sword. The same sword of the Spirit can divide a family, and the same sword of the Spirit can unite a family. Right? Both things. And if he's been speaking to us, then this right here is very important for you. Otherwise, he wouldn't reiterate it so many times. So here's what he said. I'm the one that has the sharp sword. So you know what it is? Can I tell you something? What is one of the implements of God's armor? The sword of the Spirit, right? Whose sword is it, and whose mouth is it in? It's his armor, it's his sword, and it's in his mouth. Right? It's not in your mouth. See, he's the one that speaks, not you. So therefore, God's not giving you armor. He didn't call it Jose's armor and you use it. He said, just put on the whole armor of who? God. So God's in you and he's armed. Right? So who uses that armor? He uses that armor. And if you didn't believe that, you'll see why in a second. He uses that armor. We don't. So he said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. This is the Lord speaking to us directly about this, right? He says, where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, it says, my faithful martyr was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them, he said among you, he says, are those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, right? That hold the doctrine of Balaam. And so when there is an error in the doctrine of the church, if the messenger doesn't correct it, God will fight against that person by the sword of his mouth. And you hear it now in a second. Because that, it says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So what the Lord is saying, listen to me, when there are people among you that are spreading doctrines that are not true, spreading it to other friends within the congregation and making them stumble regardless of what they're meaning. Listen, I don't care who is well-meaning. I care that if somebody is telling you something that's untrue, I will correct it, because I'm not going to have God tell me, you know, listen, if I can't speak it through you, I'll get somebody else who will speak it then, right? Or I'll speak it through you myself, right? So he says here, right, if someone is here to hurt you, that needs to be corrected. And if they go until they learn, that is all the more. Listen, I would rather preach to one person that will hear and not have anybody else speaking things to them that are contrary to the word of God, than to have this entire church full of people and people within the congregation that speak against the very thing that God is saying unto the people that are in the congregation, right? it needs to be spoken against, right? It needs to be spoken against. So he said, you haven't denied my faith even those days where in Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. I have a few things against thee in verse 14, because thou hast there among those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. See, Balaam was too much of a chicken. He didn't do it, but he taught Balak how to do it. Right? Because you don't, he gave up. He didn't do it. He said, I can't say anything unless God tells me to say it. Right? But he was an unfaithful, wicked man, because even though he couldn't get the gain, he taught him how to do it, and the people ended up being cursed anyway, right? God had to come in. A man had to die, right? The priest had to kill that man and that woman, right? What did God want to do? The people to always continue to prosper, and for that not to have happened. Why did it happen? Because of wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine. And he says, I have a few things against thee, but thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the people of Israel, to eat things that are sacrificed unto idols, and to commit a fornication. It says, thou hast also them that hold the doctrine, again, the teaching of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. God hates it when you're taught wrong. And he says, repent. And we're going to end right here in verse number 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with what? With the sword of my mouth. How did he describe himself at the beginning to the letter to that church? I am he who has a sword in my mouth. So God reveals himself as the one who has the sword and the word of God in his mouth, and corrects him, and at the end says, if you don't tell them, I will come and I will fight against them. In other words, here's what God wants to do. God wants the word of God to be received by his people, right? But if they're not received by the people, then God has to come against and oppose them. He has to oppose people then that have bad doctrine, right? And can I tell you something? That angel that was in front of the donkey and in front of Balaam, you know what he said he was there to do? He said he was there standing as an adversary against him, because he said, your way is perverse and you want my people to fall. You know what I love? Can I tell you this? The heart of God is for your mind and your soul to be protected among anything that is bad doctrine that is going to hurt you and your family. Right? Listen, please do me a favor. I know what we see. And I get it. And you know what I love? Here's what I love about this place. One of the things that I love. It's so stinking plain. Right? I love it. You know why? Because people are drug around by the flashiness of what they see. And I pray to God Almighty that if there is anyone that knows in this county, that you all know enough to be able to hear a lie and to be able to mark it as one. That's all. That's all. Listen, again, this is not about church attendance, right? The day that the Lord doesn't want this church to be here anymore, he'll take it off, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is you have to know what's right. And you know what? I could be fishing. Right? I mean, you, do we get that? Do we understand that, right? There's no kick that I get from being here. Right? So why has the Lord called us here? Right? If not just, listen, to be able to hear correctly, and because of the love of his people. He said that the Lord gave unto the church when he ascended pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. You know why? For the building up of his church. Building up of his church. It's okay to feel corrected, but if you feel corrected, you should be built up in him. If somebody corrects you, it better have the name of Jesus on it. Because if not, it ain't correction. It's just condemnation, right? But there's no condemnation when somebody tells you that it all has to be about Jesus or it's nothing at all. That it has to be about what he has done for you and it can't be anything else at all, right? So listen, so if you hear what the Lord is saying to you when he's speaking about the sword, he's revealed himself to you as what today? As the one who has the sword in his mouth. And you know what? The Lord is not in my life to fight against me. But we are of those. Listen to who we are. We are of those. I'm almost 99% confident that this speaks about 100% of us that are here. Here's what this speaks about us. That we are of those that have heard and have received. And I don't really, I honestly don't care. If some of you receive 5 and some of you receive 10 talents, it really don't matter as long as you receive, right? Because you will bear fruit in your life and He will receive all of the glory in your life. So why is this so critical? Because He's been teaching us all that He's been teaching us to come to this little climatic point, right, about who He is. And when the Lord reveals to you as one that has a sword in His mouth, say, Father, you know what? Take that sword and pierce it into my heart. And to the dividing, Lord, of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. Lord, pierce down deep inside, Lord, and look at the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Lord, and everything, Lord, you said is not, everything is naked and it is exposed in your sight. Can we just pray like that before communion? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that to your people right now, Lord, everything, Lord, is naked and exposed. Everything is naked and exposed, Lord, before you, to whom we have to do. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one, my God, that you are the one that reaches deep down inside, Father, and with the sword of your mouth, Lord, you pierce their soul exactly to the spot that you needed to hit. Thank you, Lord. That you don't give them things to numb their mind. But Lord, that you go in and you heal what is broken. That you heal what is wrong. That you correct the doctrine and the understanding that is incorrect. Father, can we hear it from you? Can we look to the voice of Him who is speaking and hear you say, take heed what you hear, because the measure with which you meet it will be measured back to you. Lord, you want my prosperity and you want, Lord, me to be fruitful in my life. And therefore, Lord, you want me to hear accurately, Lord, so I can bear much fruit and bring you glory. Lord, you have found the people among these that are here. You have found among them, Lord, people that will hear you. And Lord, thank you, my God, that because they are lit and they have been enlightened, Lord, what is in them will not stay hidden, but it will be manifest, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that, because there is so much that needs to be done, but it cannot be done by people who speak what they don't know. Thank you, Lord, that it is spoken by people who believe and know, and therefore then they speak. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord. We thank you, my God, that we cared about nothing else, Lord, but that you know my name. You know our name, my Father. You know our name, Lord. You know our true name. And a white stone will be given unto them with a name written on it that only they will know. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know our name. That you know who we are. That you know our name. And that name that you have of us, Lord, represents who we are in you, Jesus. And we thank you, my God, for that. Thank you, Lord, that the name that you have for us, Lord, that it means something. We thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to try to, Lord, noodle this thing to try to figure out what our name is, Lord, for it's not time for that yet. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you continually show us who we are and who you are in us, Lord. Because this is certain, the name that you have given to us comes from who you are on the inside of us. And since we have that, we have everything, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.